Journey to Rome, Acts 27, verse 1 to 28:15. In August of 60 AD, I, the author, rejoined Paul, and it was determined that it was time for us to sail to Rome in Italy. Paul and some other prisoners were put under the supervision of a Roman military officer named Julius, who was part of the emperor's own company of soldiers. We caught a ride on a boat that was heading back to Asia Minor, and we were joined by Aristarchus from Thessalonica. Our first stop was a little north on the coast in Sidon, where Julius kindly and humanely allowed Paul to be taken care of by some friends. From there, we sailed around the island of Cyprus on its east side, because the winds were opposing our movements to the west. After sailing through the deep sea along the southern coast of Asia Minor, we arrived in Myra on the southwestern end of Asia Minor. There, the Roman military officer got us a ride on another boat that was sailing from Alexandria in Egypt to Italy. With the winds fighting against us, we then slowly sailed west for many days before heading south to the island of Crete. After slowly sailing west along Crete, we were forced to stop only partway along the southern side of the island. After many days passed, the Day of Atonement in late September came and went, putting us in the heart of the dangerous and risky sailing season that lasted from mid-September to mid-November. Seeing this, Paul spoke to the group, saying, "Men, we must not proceed any further. If we go, then this trip will bring great humiliation and destruction to the boat, its cargo, and even our lives." But they ignored Paul's warning, and the Roman military officer, confident in the power of technology and human innovation, convinced the captain of the boat to arrogantly proceed. The ship's crew had determined that the current harbor was undesirable for waiting out the stormy season, and so they wanted to get to a safer harbor on the far western end of the island of Crete. While they were deciding how to proceed, a south wind began blowing that allowed us to begin carefully moving west along the coast of Crete. But then suddenly, the winds shifted and a great wind from the east came upon us. The boat was caught in the wind and it was too strong to oppose, so we gave in and began being uncontrollably pushed west. While heading past a small island just to the south of Crete, we were barely able to keep the small landing boat from being ripped out to sea. The landing boat was secured to the ship with ropes, and the crew began fixing its damage. Fearing that they would be driven into and destroyed in the sandbars off the coast of Africa, they started abandoning some of the precious and expensive cargo so the ship would sit more shallow in the sea. The next day, the storm intensified, and the crew began to abandon even more cargo, realizing that all the wealth and possessions in the world would do them no good. On the third day, everyone got involved, as all the cargo was thrown into the sea by hand. As the storm raged on for many days, and we could not see the sun or stars, all hope of being saved was lost. Many had stopped eating because of their anxiety, and so Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Because you did not listen to my word from the Creator, and instead trusted in the strength of human technology, we are enduring this humiliation and destruction. But now I am urging you to turn your trust to the Creator. None of your lives will be lost. Only the boat and all its wealth will be destroyed. For the Creator of all, to whom I pledge my full allegiance, sent a messenger to me last night, saying, 'Do not fear, Paul. You will stand before the Roman Emperor. Look, the Creator has generously chosen to save you and all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, trust in the Creator just as I am. His promise to me will be fulfilled. But know that we will be shipwrecked on some island. We will lose everything we have, and this boat that you trust in will be completely destroyed.' During the middle of the 14th night, while the storm was pushing us west through the Adriatic Sea, the sailors began to think we were getting close to some land. So they dropped a line and found the depth to be 20 wingspans. A little while later, they again dropped a line and found the depth to have gone down to 15 wingspans. Fearing that the boat would run into some rocks in the dark, they threw out 4 anchors and began praying for day to come. Wanting to escape the ship, the sailors lowered the landing boat to the sea, pretending like they were going to add more anchors to the front of the ship. Paul said to the Roman military officer and to his soldiers, "If these men do not stay on the ship, then you will not be saved." So the soldiers cut the cords of the landing boat, and our last safety net fell away into the sea. As the night was coming to a close, Paul began encouraging everyone to share food together, saying, "Today is the 14th day you have gone without food because of anxiety over what is happening. Therefore, I am encouraging you to share food with each other, for you will be saved. Not a hair from your heads will be destroyed." After he said this, Paul took a loaf of bread, openly thanked the Creator for it, broke it into pieces, and began to eat. Being energized by his worry-free example, everyone else on the ship began to eat as well. In all, there were 276 people on the ship. After eating their fill, they emptied the ship of all its extra weight by throwing all the extra food into the sea. When it finally became day, they saw some unrecognizable land in the distance and began discussing whether they could get the ship onto the section with a beach. They decided to cut the ship free from the anchors while also letting the rudders run free. Then they put the topsail up into the wind and pointed it toward the beach. But the wind drove the ship into a sandbar where its front got stuck. The ship did not immediately tip over, but the force of the sea against the rear of the ship made it inevitable. The Roman soldiers wanted to kill all their prisoners so that none of them could possibly escape, but the Roman military officer wanted to keep Paul alive, and so he stopped them. Then he quickly instructed all those who could swim to jump out of the ship and swim to shore. Then he instructed everyone else to grab a piece of wood to float on. So all 276 people abandoned the boat, a symbol of civilization. By doing this, they all made it safely to shore. Once we got to shore, they figured out that we were on the island of Malta. The indigenous people of the island, whom the Romans considered to be uncivilized barbarians and savages, immediately welcomed us and offered us extraordinary hospitality. They took us to their shelters and built a fire to get us out of the cold and rain. Paul helped gather wood, and as he put the logs on the fire, a venomous snake jumped out and bit his hand. When the indigenous people saw the deadly snake hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "This man must be a murderer, for he survived the sea, but justice will not allow him to escape with his life." Paul then pulled the snake, representing the satanic desire to be in control, from his hand and threw it into the fire. They all began watching Paul, expecting him to swell up and drop dead. But as the moments passed, nothing happened to him, and he was unharmed, for he was under the protection of the Creator. This stunned the indigenous people, and they began wondering if Paul was a god. One of the landowners of the island, named Publius, welcomed us with open arms into his home for 3 days. The man's father was stuck in bed with a great fever and with diarrhea. Paul went to his bedside, prayed for him, placed his hands upon him, and healed him. After this happened, all those on the island who were in need of healing came to Paul and received his care. The indigenous people took care of us, like their own, for months, and shared with us everything that we needed. After 3 months, we found another ship, which had passed the stormy season in Egypt. This ship was adorned with the symbol of the Gemini twins of Zeus, who the Romans believed were the protectors of those who travel. We sailed north to the island of Sicily and stayed there for 3 days. Leaving Sicily, we sailed north to the tip of Italy in 1 day. The next day, we caught a wind from the south that carried us all the way to Puteoli, which was about 140 miles south of Rome. We found some apprentices of Jesus in that city and stayed to teach them for 7 days before heading to Rome. The brothers in Rome heard about our presence and headed south for 33 miles on the Appian Way to meet us and escort us into the city. When Paul saw these apprentices of Jesus from Rome, he gave thanks to the Creator and was greatly encouraged.